Digital LEDs pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
Hassan, security forces in the Islamic Republic are sweeping through the capital, arresting opposition leaders.
And if he continues, it may delegitimize the peace accord.
I can't vouch for you as a reformer, Mr. President, if you renege on your human rights obligations.
My brother tried to kill me, held by elements within my own government.
Apparently, killing President Hassan was only part of his brother's plan. CTU now believes he's also trying to acquire weapons-grade uranium.
When can I take possession of the rods?
As soon as we have the money.
I found a doctor who can treat him.
No doctors. The authorities know about the nuclear material. Putting Oleg in a clinic would lead them right to us.
Dr. Levine?
How did you get in here?
My brother is sick.
I'm gonna call you an ambulance.
No. No one can know about this.
No. What do you want from me?
You're a data analyst for CTU. You got access to all sorts of good stuff.
Yeah, but not unrestricted access.
Payout's gotta be at least six figures.
You were undercover for nearly 2 years with a Russian mob.
Are you asking me to go back in?
Vladimir Lieutenant was completely obsessed with her. It turned violent.
Did he rape her?
It looks like he tried a couple of times.
Can we talk about this deal now?
I wish it weren't that simple.
Tie her up.
What?
Look, you're making a mistake. This is the chance of a lifetime.
This operation's over.
Vladimir didn't take the bait. Renee, it's Jack. I know you can hear me.
I'm on my way now.
You don't want to do this deal? Then you might as well just kill me, because this deal is the only thing that I have.
Do it! Pull the trigger!
I hate to be sure.
Jack, are you there?
What's going on?
He's in. They bought her cover.
The following takes place between 9 p.m. and 10 p.m.
Jack arrives near the scene of Renee's narrow escape at the hands of Vladimir. He gets out of his car and walks cautiously towards the riverside. Getting out a small night vision scope, he trains it through a fence to where Vladimir stands with Renee.
Renee, I've got a visual on you. Going off comm for a minute.
You all right?
CTU O'Brien.
Chloe, it's Jack. I want you to monitor Renee's comm. I need to speak to Hastings.
Okay, I'll put you through.
I'm here, Jack. Go ahead.
We need to pull Renee Walker out now.
Based on what?
Because she's a danger to herself in this mission. 10 minutes ago, Lieutenant threatened to execute her, and she said she was sick of living and wanted to die, and she meant it.
She must have been playing him.
No, she doesn't care what happens to her. That's what makes her dangerous. She's like a bomb ready to go off. We need to get her out of there before that happens.
Look, I understand your concern, but we can't just roll up this operation before we find those nuclear rods.
We can arrest Lieutenant, and if he knows how to find the rods, I will make him talk.
If you're saying what I think you are, we don't do that anymore.
Then you people do what you do well. Offer him immunity or something.
This is the Russian syndicate. They're very secretive. They protect their own. It is highly unlikely that Leitanin would cooperate.
Then you better find another way, because I am not going to let Renee die because CTU did their job badly. I will not let that happen. Do you understand me?
Jack, if you can think of something, I will listen. But right now,
Renee is the only hope we have of neutralizing this threat. And on my order, she stays in play. Jack.
I'll find a way to get her out when I go in as the buyer. I'll stay under in her place. Do we have a deal?
As long as you can do it without risking the mission.
I give you my word.
Agent Ortiz will meet you at the staging area with the TAC team. You'll have everything you need for your cover.
Hold on, they're moving. I need to get back on comm.
We'll go back to my shop and we'll discuss this buyer of yours.
Jack watches tensely as Vladimir takes Renee away in his car. Jack runs back and gets behind the wheel of his own car and follows the Russians at a distance. Dana, still looking nervous, works at CTU.
Dana, start forwarding mission status reports to the nuclear emergency team at Fort Hamilton. I want them ready to go in as soon as we find these nuclear rods.
I'm on it, sir.
Dana seems to apply herself to work and pulls up some information on her screen. After a moment, she looks nervously around and then picks up her mobile and calls her home number. 905. Kevin answers.
Yeah.
It's me. I've got something.
Damn, fast. Okay. Hold on. Okay, go.
Let's hear it.
It's an NYPD evidence lockup. According to the manifest, a local vice group just impounded a stash of drug money. It'll be held there for the next 48 hours.
How much?
$120,000.
All right, what's the plan?
You go in and take it.
What do you mean, break into a police station? What, are you out of your mind?
It's not a police station, it's a warehouse. Most of the security is automated. I can manipulate it from here. You walk in, you walk out with the cash. I'll talk you through it. I need to access their security codes. Work up a key card to get you inside the warehouse.
How long?
Meet me outside CTU in 30 minutes.
Did you take care of your situation?
Situation?
The big mystery you had to leave work for?
Oh, yeah, it's fine. What do you need, Merlo?
I'm getting 5% lag in my drone's ABS controls. With everything going on, I think I'm just running hot.
Okay, we'll make sure to free up some memory space on the auxiliary servers.
Thanks. You know, if there's something bothering you, you've always got my shoulder to cry on, or any other body part.
I will keep that in mind. But for now, why don't you focus on running aerial support for Walker and Bauer?
Okay.
Arlo walks away. Chloe watches Dana shrewdly. Vladimir's large black car pulls up back at his hideout. Renee sits in the rear. Vladimir's right-hand man, Lugo, escorts her inside.
Stop.
Lugo, take a break. I want to talk to her alone.
Renee follows Vladimir into the private office at the rear of the building. Lugo looks far from satisfied.
All right, you have my attention. Tell me about this buyer.
His name's Ernst Mier, German arms dealer.
Never heard of him.
He does most of his business in Asia. He just started branching out into North America.
What's he looking to buy?
Weapons-grade uranium.
You're serious?
Very. Someone in the Russian syndicate smuggled nuclear fuel rods out of the Ukraine. They're planning on selling them on the open market.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't, Annie.
But you can find out. You're very well connected.
I have always admired your ambition, but you're chasing the devil. Dealing AK-47s, no one really cares. But nuclear material.
Profit is worth it.
You need money? Huh? Always come work for me.
No, I'm doing this so I don't ever have to work for anyone.
If you see. If I could find out, what would it be worth?
30% of the deal. I don't have to tell you that is more money than you could possibly know what to do with. Look, Mir says these rods are going to be sold soon, so if we want to make a counterbid, it has to happen fast. If you don't know anything, tell me so I can go somewhere else.
How well do you know this man? Do you trust him?
There's no one I trust more. I've been with him for 2 years.
What do you mean, with?
It's professional. Can you help us or not?
Make a few calls, see what I can find out. But I'm gonna have to meet this Mir. And I'd need a good faith payment up front.
How much?
$5 million.
That's a lot of money, Vlad.
Look, I'm taking big risks just making these calls. Besides, $5 million is nothing compared to what your buyer will have to pay for nuclear fuel rods.
Fine. I'll ask him, but I can't make any promises.
He wants my help, that's the price of admission.
Okay.
There's a parking garage on the corner of 12th and Market Street. Someone will meet him there, on the roof. Once the money is in our account, I'll bring him back here. We will talk.
I'll give him a call.
It's good to see you. You're going to make me start losing sleep again.
I'll let you know what Mir says.
I'll tell my men. I'll give you privacy for your call.
Vladimir throws a look back to Renee and then goes out of the room. Her professional mask slips for a moment, revealing her loathing of the man. She walks carefully around the room, checking in cupboards and peering out through the window.
Jack, are you listening?
Yeah, we're ready to wire the money to his account.
When can you be there?
As soon as I finish prepping my cover. I'm almost at the staging area. 30 minutes tops. How you holding up?
It's hard to be in the same room with this son of a bitch. I can handle it.
I'll be there as soon as I can.
Okay.
9-11. End of part one. Part 2, 9:15. The doctor treats Bazeev's son.
Morphine will take effect in just a few moments.
Don't worry, Oleg. You're going to be fine.
It might help me if I knew exactly what happened to your brother. How did he get exposed to weapons-grade uranium?
Don't worry about that. Just make sure he lives. Him again, isn't it? The second time he's called, you should answer it.
Hello? Why aren't you picking up your phone? I called you twice.
It's been in the tunnel.
Ulana says you're not at the house yet. Where are you?
Stuck in traffic. Tell us going to be a while.
How's Oleg?
He's okay. Sleeping.
Let me know when you get to the house.
I will. It was him, wasn't it?
Hey. Don't worry. Okay? By the time he finds out, he'll already have been treated. It won't matter.
Oleg looks very unhappy. Yosef draws his gun.
It's just your brother's test results.
Okay. You say or do anything that I don't like, and my men will kill your wife and daughter. Open the door.
The blood work you ordered, Doctor.
Thank you.
I noticed there was no patient name.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot to put that down.
Oh, well, I can do
it. No,
right.
I'll take care of it later.
Is everything okay, Doctor?
Fine. I'm just working a little later than I expected.
Okay.
You did good. What does this say?
Your brother has been exposed to at least 400 rems, and the chemical toxicity of the radiation is causing renal failure.
I know it's serious. Can you help him or not?
He needs a bone marrow transplant that requires a 6-man surgical team in a fully equipped facility.
There has to be something you can do right here, right now.
There's some drugs I could give him that'll help flush out the radiation and stimulate white blood cell repair. But that's a half measure. I can't guarantee he'll recover.
My brother is not going to die. It's up to you, Doctor. I get to work.
The doctor shies away from Yosef's gun. 9:18, Ortiz meets with Jack.
Okay, got it. How was CTU? Your offshore account's in place. I forwarded instructions to your PDA on how to wire the money. I spoke with Hastings. He said as soon as you're under, and we have confirmation that Leitana can get us to the nuclear rods, we're pulling Renee Walker out.
That's right.
What's going on, Jack? Hastings said something about her being unstable.
I don't have time to explain it. Just follow my lead.
Now, how do you want to work this without breaking cover?
I don't know yet.
All right. Well, I got two teams running coordinated drive-bys. They'll be ready to extract her once she's clear.
No, these guys own this neighborhood. They'll have eyes everywhere. Your men will run the risk of being spotted.
I've done this before, Jack. I ran an operation just like it in Fallujah.
And I'm in command. You're gonna do exactly what I tell you.
Jack, stand by. I hear him coming.
Lieutenant's back. I need to listen to this. Excuse me.
Rene. I spoke to my men. Did you get your buyer on the phone?
He agreed to the money. I'll be at the parking garage in 20 minutes.
Very good. We have a little time to catch up. Do you still like your single malts?
Not right now.
You sure? It's 30 years?
No, thanks.
What you said earlier, down at the river, tired of living, wanted to die. What happened to you?
It's not important.
It's to me.
Look, you don't have to worry about it. Once I make this deal, none of it will matter.
You're not the only one that's been suffering these past few years. It's hard for me to admit, but I never forgave myself for what I did to you.
It's in the past. Forget it.
I don't want to forget it. I had too much to drink that night. I wasn't thinking clearly.
Wow. I've never heard you apologize for anything. It's definitely a first.
Look, I'm just trying to make things right. You don't have to be such a bitch about it.
Was I being a bitch? Maybe I should apologize.
Oh, you're something else. You never back down, do you? I missed our little arguments.
She turns away from him and sits back down with a look of disgust. He runs his hand over her shoulder.
Still nervous, Ronnie. I shouldn't be surprised.
It's not you.
Someone else?
No.
What is that?
Look, I'm just nervous about the deal. Could be a lot of money at stake.
There's more for you here than just money if you want it.
Look. I didn't come here for this.
Really? All the people you could have gone to, you knocked on my door.
Because you're connected.
That's the only reason.
Yes.
I don't believe you.
That's your problem.
You should watch your tongue. You might lose it one day.
You said that I could get cleaned up.
Yeah. Bathroom has a shower.
Thank you.
Yeah. Renee hurries into the bathroom and locks the door.
Agent Ortiz, we need to move now. Now!
Renee is almost hyperventilating with the strain of it all. Vladimir finishes his scotch and walks out into the main area. 9:22. He approaches Lugo.
Renee called her buyer. He agreed to pay the $5 million up front. I want you to meet with him. Take a couple men.
This is a mistake, Vlad. Getting involved in nuclear arms, it doesn't matter how much money is at stake.
I have no intention of pursuing this deal.
What do you mean?
When you've picked up the buyer, when the money has been transferred into our account, you kill him, put him in the river, keep the money for ourselves.
What about Rene?
She'll be working with us from now on.
We're going to kill her buyer. She's not going to be happy about that.
You heard what she said. She's got nothing left, nowhere to go, desperate woman. I give her reason to live. Okay.
I'll take care of you.
Lugo walks out confidently. Vladimir is thoughtful. 9:23. 9:27. Rob Weiss to President Taylor.
President Hassan's security forces. They're still cracking down on the opposition and they're not showing any signs of letting up.
I'm afraid your warning to President Hassan has fallen on deaf ears, Madam President.
Who filmed this?
Stringer for the BBC. Bought it from an eyewitness.
And they've already seen it in Downing Street?
That's why Ethan wanted you to see this now.
The rumors have already started that the British are pulling out as signatories to the accord.
Then I need to talk to the Prime Minister.
It's not just the British, Madam President. The Germans and Egyptians are also positioning themselves to pull out. And if we lose their support...
The peace deal is dead. Maybe if they understood the circumstances that Hassan is trying to prevent his brother from acquiring a nuclear weapon.
With respect, Madam President, Sharing that intelligence with the delegates might spread a panic.
You're right. But I still need to buy some time. Assemble the representatives from every signatory country attending the conference. I want to appeal to them myself to stay the course.
What about President Hassan? Shouldn't we include him?
Not until I've taken the temperature of the other delegates. I don't want to push him too hard.
Hassan stands in his hotel room. 9:29. A security man comes into the room.
What is it?
As you requested. These are backgrounds on all the detainees. Our security police have completed their initial sweep of the capital city. 65 known members of the opposition have been arrested and are being questioned.
Have you learned anything? Were any of them working with my brother?
It's too early to tell. What's wrong, sir?
One of the suspects has family connections to a member of my delegation here at the UN.
Who?
Jamut. They're cousins.
That doesn't mean that Jamut is involved in any of this.
We need to make sure.
We'll check his phone records and other recent activities for any suspicious behavior.
Good. But I also want him taken into custody.
Sir?
Arrest him. Take him to our embassy for interrogation.
Mr. President, with respect, Jamut is a trusted member of your inner circle. The evidence against him is purely circumstantial.
I trusted my brother as well.
Are you sure this is what you want? He is a public official that will not go unnoticed.
Don't care! I don't care what anyone thinks. I was almost killed today. Or have you forgotten?
I was in the car with you, sir.
Then you should know what needs to be done.
Yes, sir.
Hassan walks away. The security man watches him go and then stands for a few moments, his face registering profound doubt. At CTU, Dana works at her screen. Images flash up and information is processed. She looks around. Taking off her earpiece, she slips a magnetic card out of a small machine and tucks it under her mobile phone. She walks away past Chloe, who seems to be missing nothing.
Forget about me?
What?
My name's Arlo Glass. I'm one of your co-workers at CTU. You said you'd free up some memory space on the auxiliary servers.
I'm getting to it.
In which century? We're in the middle of an operation and my aerial feed is running in slow motion.
It's next on my list, Arlo.
Where are you going now?
To the bathroom. Is that okay with you?
9:31. Arlo gets up and crosses to Chloe.
Hey, O'Brien. You notice anything weird about Dana?
Miss Perfect?
She seems distracted, always making excuses to leave.
Maybe she's avoiding you.
What?
That's what I would do if someone were drooling over me all day. You're lucky she hasn't reported you to human resources.
If you weren't so jealous, you'd see I was asking you a serious question.
Oh, yeah. I'm jealous. Please, won't you stare at my ass as I walk away?
She walks away. He does as she asked. Dana comes out through the open-air exit to CTU.
Thank you.
She walks slowly over to where Kevin and his mate Nick sit in their disreputable van.
Stay here.
Kevin and Dana move around to the rear.
This has the address and schematic of the evidence lockup. You go through the southeast entrance. This key card will get you access.
How do we find the money?
The evidence bins are numbered. You're looking for 4301. This is a dedicated comm unit. It's an earpiece. You'll be able to hear me. Do exactly what I tell you to do and you'll be in and out. No one will know you were there. Listen. I help you do this. And you never call me again. That's the deal.
Sure, Jen. That's the deal. I'll call you when we get to the lockup.
Okay.
Okay.
Dana leaves. Kevin gets back into the van where Nick has been sitting lip-reading Dana's words. She looks back towards the van. Arlo sits at his desk watching CCTV footage of Kevin's van and Dana's meeting with him. His eyes widen. Renee gets out of the shower and wraps a towel around herself. She spots Vladimir in the doorway, glass in hand.
You look thin.
Be out in a minute.
You won't wait that long.
Vladimir, please. Just let me get dressed.
Why waste the energy? I'll just have to get you undressed all over again. That's what you say, but part of you came here to see me. Admit it.
There's nothing to admit.
Why is it so hard for you to admit the truth? You want this just as much as I do.
I'm not going to tell you again. Leave me alone and let me get dressed.
Come here. I said come here.
Come here or get out.
I call my men and the deal's off.
Jack listens, ashen-faced via the comm. Renee stares blankly at Vladimir. Finally, she begins moving towards him like a sleepwalker. Vladimir seems satisfied and puts his face close to hers. He begins to kiss her face and her naked shoulder. She stares ahead in horror.
I'll take the drink now.
Dry yourself off. Come out when you're ready.
He leaves her alone for a moment. She closes the door and turns slowly, her expression vulnerable and numbly terrified.
This. I've got a team standing by. We can get you out of there now.
Where are they? Leave us. I've got to stay under.
We'll find another way.
There is no other way.
Renee, don't do this. Renee.
Go meet Vlad's men. I'll see you when you get here.
Why won't you listen to me?
I'm going dark.
Renee, wait.
She unscrews the tiny comm unit from her ear and places it in the basin. Turning on the tap, she sluices it down the plug hole. She turns with a supreme effort of self-control and heads out towards Vladimir. 9:37, end of part two. Part three, 9:41, at the UN building.
These arrests are making it very difficult for my government to continue to support the peace agreement. President Hassan can't ignore the repercussions on what he's doing.
No, President Hassan. He's a rational man, a good man. There must be reason for these actions, and I'm not just speaking as his delegate, but as his friend.
Well, as his friend, you need to let him know that my government is not the only one with grave concerns. This conference is at risk of falling apart.
Excuse me, I'm sorry to interrupt. Mr. Chamon, may I speak with you privately?
Yes, of course. Excuse me.
Of course.
What is it?
I've been ordered to escort you to the embassy to answer some questions.
Regarding?
An internal security matter. Please come with us.
I would like to know what this is about.
We'll explain everything to you at the embassy, sir.
Well, I will have to wait. I'm about to go into a meeting.
It cannot wait, sir. We need to go right now.
Are you arresting me?
It would be best if we kept this discreet.
This is outrageous. I demand to speak with President Hassan.
President Hassan is the one who gave this order. I will not ask you again. Come with us.
Very well.
Take him to the car. I'll be right there.
9:42, the British official approaches Hassan's security man.
Is everything all right?
Everything is fine, sir. Please excuse me.
The security man phones Kyla, the president's daughter.
Hello?
It's me. Are you alone?
Yes. What's wrong? You sound upset.
I didn't want to burden you with this. I need to speak with you about your father.
What is it?
I have to go to the embassy right now. I'll meet you in private when I get back.
You're gonna give him Vendacine twice daily, morning and night. Inject it right into the IV bag, just like I'm doing. You're gonna want to be careful. Radiation poisoning is transferable through bodily fluids. Are you paying attention?
Yes, I see.
He's also gonna get cisplatin every other day. But he can take that in pill form. I'm gonna give you 3 weeks worth.
How will I know if he's getting better?
If the treatment's working, his symptoms will begin to subside in 7 to 10 days.
I'm gonna be leaving soon.
Where?
To the country house. The doctor's given me everything I need to treat you. You're gonna get better, Oleg.
That's the nurse with the rest of the medicine.
Yosef trains his gun on the door. The doctor moves cautiously across. On the nod from Yosef, he opens the door.
Throw down your weapon, Yosef. Do what I said. Don't make this worse than it is. Drop it.
Joseph agonizes for several seconds. Oleg looks on desperately. Joseph lowers his gun.
You son of a bitch.
Who else knows about Oleg's sickness? Who else knows?
Just the doctor.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Undo him.
Hey, wait, stop. What are you doing?
Your father sent us to bring you home. Now, Joseph.
Joseph, it's okay. Just do what he says.
Oleg puts his arm around Joseph's shoulder and Joseph helps him out. In the corridor lie several dead nurses. The hitman calls Bazoyev.
We found them.
Where were they?
A clinic in Mount Vernon.
How many people found out about Oleg?
Only one, a doctor, but we've taken care of him. Nobody will know we were here.
Good. Now bring my sons to me.
Da.
Let's go.
The Russians leave the clinic. Jack, dressed in a leather jacket and modern horn-rimmed glasses, drives briskly through the dark streets. Seeing Lugo waiting for him by his vehicle, Jack stops. He then swings his car swiftly around to face the way he has come. 9:46. He gets out.
Mir?
That's right.
You are from Germany?
Bremen. But I grew up traveling with my father.
Noch nie da gewesen.
Never been there, but I hear the women are beautiful. You heard right. Unfortunately, I'm too busy working to enjoy them. You have an American accent. I went to university here. Most of the people I do business with speak English. He lights a cigarette. I guess it rubs off. Maybe we should speak English. German is such a dirty language. And you are a dirty people. But here we are. We both need something from each other. Vladimir's man stares at him suspiciously.
Are we going to do business or not?
Where is the 5 million?
You don't see any money until I talk to Lieutenant.
If you have questions, ask me.
I don't want to talk to you. Get him on the phone or I drive away. Now.
Lugo blinks and gets out his phone. A naked Vladimir Lytanin answers.
Yes.
Mir is here. He won't transfer the money until he speaks with you first.
Put him on.
This is Mir.
Yes, Mr. Mir. What's the problem?
After you get your money, how long till I get my information?
Not very long. I just have to make a few calls, no more than an hour.
Where is Renee?
She's busy.
I would like to talk to her.
You can see her when you get here. We have nothing more to discuss until the money's in place. Now get Lugo on the phone.
Fine.
Go ahead.
Once the money's confirmed into our account, you'll know what to do.
Yes.
I need your account number.
Jack has got a computer out from the rear of his car and takes a slip of paper from the Russian. The other armed Russians look on ominously.
I'm transferring the money through multiple accounts so it can't be traced. This will take a moment.
You'll wait.
9:48, end of part 3. Part 4, 9:53. In Lightanen's hideout, Renee is putting her hair up.
Is it done?
Not yet.
The partner's good for the money, Vladimir. You should be making calls, tracking down the rods.
I'm not going to make any calls because there isn't going to be any deal with your partner.
What are you talking about?
Once we have the money, it's over. We don't need him anymore. And we'll be $5 million richer.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah, I'm not a fool, Renee. I'm not about to get involved with the kind of people who traffic in nuclear arms.
Hey, Vladimir, listen, you can't do this.
Why, does this man mean something to you?
No, but I've worked for more than a year to make this deal. I'm not just going to let it go because you don't have the guts to see it through.
Hey, this isn't about guts. This is about being smart.
Really? Is it smart to keep selling small arms for the rest of your life? I bring you the score of a lifetime and you just piss it away for what, for $5 million? How long is that going to last you?
Long enough.
You're more than all this. I know it. Why I brought this deal to you. We can do this together. Once we've made the deal and we have the money, we can be together. We can start over, make our own moves. But I need my buyer alive.
Sorry. This is the way I want it. You'll see. It's for the best. What are you doing?
Make a call.
Put down the phone.
I said put it down!
He gets her by the throat and forces her down.
Don't ever go against me!
I mean, you should know that by now.
Okay!
Lightanen picks up her phone, looks at the screen and smiles unpleasantly. Renee massages her throat, then appears to register the missing phone and sits up, her eyes widening in panic. 9:55, Jack, still with the Russians, stands looking at his computer.
How much longer?
It's almost done.
The Russian heavies look on as the money is wired.
There. The money's in your account.
Thank you, Mr. Mir.
Jack's CTU backup take down the Russians as they draw their guns on Jack. Jack floors Lugo.
Now drop it!
Ortiz is on a rooftop with a high-velocity rifle.
You really think I'm that stupid? That I'd come here alone? Call your man.
Do it!
Give me the phone.
Yes, we have the money. Is Mir dead?
Not exactly, but I've just taken out three of your men, and I'm ready to take out the fourth.
Yeah.
You really think you can roll me for $5 million? Where's Renee?
She's right here. She's fine.
I want proof now!
Say something to your partner.
Mir, are you okay?
Is it this one?
Renee told me you were ready to take your organization to the next level. Apparently she was wrong.
Not necessarily. I'm willing to reconsider the situation.
The only thing you should consider yourself is lucky.
then I still want this deal to happen, otherwise you'd be dead. You try something like this again, we're going to war, and that's the last thing you want.
Let me talk to my man.
Fine.
Yes.
Bring him back here.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
He wants to see you.
Get up. Move to the driver's side door, slowly.
Jack forces Lugo at gunpoint to take the wheel of his car. Kevin drives his van. Dana works nervously at her screen. Arlo looks round with a perplexed expression. Joseph sits with Oleg.
I'm sorry, Oleg.
Leave us.
Bajaev enters, his face stony. Joseph looks up at his father as if prepared for the worst.
I couldn't let him die. He's my brother.
And he's my son. Do you think this is any easier for me?
It would have worked. The doctor was treating him.
You disobeyed me, Joseph. You put this family at risk.
You put this family at risk when you sent those men into the clinic. They killed three people! What do you think's gonna happen when the police start to investigate?
Who are you to question my judgment? You are my firstborn. You of all people should give me respect.
I do respect you. But this time you're wrong. The doctor said that Oleg could be treated.
He showed me how. All we need is the medicine!
They are rules, Joseph. They are simple rules.
And they must never be broken. Never endanger the family. Never. Never disobey an order from your father.
He pulls a gun.
Mother. Please.
You made me do this, Joseph.
Please stop. I'm sorry, my son.
The terrified Joseph stares in disbelief as Bajaev turns the gun away and summarily shoots Oleg.
Get up. Get up.
I'll call Father Gregor. He'll pray of Oleg. When he's finished, he'll bury your brother.
Bajaev clasps Joseph's head and kisses him on the cheek.
Never disobey me again.
Bajaev walks away, leaving Joseph an emotional mess. 10 o'clock, the end.